Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you so much, Dave Solomon. A pleasure to be here, as is the usual case. Gracious, it's a cloudy day in Baltimore, a little chilly out there too, definitely winter, but we're going to be feeling real warm vibes in here. Matter of fact, I see that Southern California gal, Beach, has just checked in. It's always warmer when Beach is in the chat room. Yay! We have a sweet show today. Oh my goodness. Really, songs to warm you up. And then, next hour, it's Lynn Roundtree, everybody. Yes! I'm surprised that we're able to speak to him after his little guest stint in the movie Sparkle. Huh? He is something else, and he's going to be in our region this Thursday, back to his old stomping grounds. So we're really looking forward to having a conversation with Lynn and finding out what's going on and dipping into some music from Soul Tree, the Soul Jazz Experience. So hang out with us for the next few hours. It's going to be fun. And as the usual case is, we're going to start out with something that's a classic. Yeah, we like to do that. Very quirky character, brilliant piano player from back in the day, Hampton Hawes. I'll tell you a little about him in the next couple of songs or so. Let's hear the sermon on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks for joining us today.
mots d'amour, tes mots doux tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur, une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. This is la vie en rose. Will you kiss me, heaven sighs? And though I close my eyes, I see la vie en rose. When you press me to your heart, I'm in a world apart, a world where roses bloom. Speak.
just magic. Backed up by some of the most incredible jazz artists in the Baltimore, D.C. extended area. No joke. The amazing Laurie Williams from Total Eclipse of the Soul and La Vie en Rose. And I wanted to play that not only because I love to hear Laurie sing in French. This is not the first time she has done that. Just spectacular, as only a teacher could pull off. But that particular song means so much to so many. La Vie en Rose, or translated literally meaning Life in Pink, was the signature song of the French singer who was so beloved, Edith Piaf, who, just was magical in her lifetime. She passed away in, I believe, the 60s. I remember her when I was growing up. I remember seeing her. I remember hearing her. And that particular song was written and released as a single in the 1940s. And it became particularly popular when folks were really feeling so joyful having survived wartime. And Edith Piaf's life was so, I just can't believe what I read about her, because she was one of these children who were abandoned. She was abandoned by her parents, and her grandparents took her in, or her grandmother, and grandmother ran a brothel. And between the ages of 4 and 7, Edith Piaf had keratitis. She was blind for those 3 years. And the prostitutes in grandmother's brothel took up a collection to take her to Lisieux, where there was a shrine to Saint Therese. And it said that Edith got her sight back because of the prayers and the belief that St. Therese, through God, was going to restore her sight, and she became sighted. Woo! Just one of those stories that you really want to see depicted on the wide screen. So Laurie Williams took to this song for a myriad of reasons, and she wanted to make it come to life. Not a whole lot of people could be able to make that song appeal in a different kind of way. But Laurie is so amazing and so perfectly pitched and so passionate about what she does. It's just really amazing. You have to go to Laurie Jazz. There's another Laurie Williams. If you go look up L-O-R-I Williams, not that one. LaurieJazz.com has more information about this splendid singer. Trey Ely and Matthew Shell right before that, along with Greg Adams on trumpet. Trey, who is a jazz and soul flutist, or flautist, if you will. Matthew Shell, a producer at MTS Music. And if you go to mtsmusic.net, you'll find out more. I have to tell you that it's really cool to play that song, Twilight, from the new album, which many have touted as one of their favorites for 2012. Trey Ely is a new dad. His wife gave birth to their daughter, Gabrielle, in December. Her nickname is Bree. This is the first child for the Elys, so best wishes to them. And Matthew Shell is newly engaged to his Tara, and I had a chance to meet Matthew for the first time at the East Bay Soul concert. It was a trip because, for whatever reason, Ram's Head gave me the best table in the house, which is wonderful. Then all of a sudden, I see this familiar face from Facebook show up with another familiar face, and it was Matthew and his fiance and Tara's brother. So it was great, and it's really nice to be able to play a track from this very respected CD. It's just gratifying to see two young talents get together and assure all of us that the future of jazz is pretty cool. So yay, Trey and Matthew, good for you. So happy to hear that good news is coming your way. Hampton Hawes, we started out with this sermon. Now, it's really interesting that we do a classic every time we start the show. If there's not a guest at the beginning of the show, Hampton Hawes is one of these cats. Born in 1928, already he's going to be quirky because he was born with six fingers on both hands. Within a matter of a couple of days, why is my voice going like that? I'm a little excited. The finger situation was rectified, and if his life was as easily rectified, he would have lived much longer than his 48 years. Honest to goodness, this guy was so amazing, a multi-bop pianist, son of a minister and a church pianist. So you already know that music was in the background of his life and actually in the foreground. And he started out really young, playing with the big cats in California. And as fate would have it, he became embroiled in really wonderful things, but also a dreadful thing, heroin. And he was the target of federal operation and a sting operation. And he was told that if he cooperated with the feds, they would be easy on him if he would tell who else was involved in this heroin ring that they had their eye on. He refused. So Hampton Hawes was sent to jail, and as he was awaiting trial and knowing he was going to go to jail, he created this beautiful album called The Sermon, full of spirituality and verve and just his heart in those keys. So this is the crowning touch of this. He saw in 1961 that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was made president, and his inaugural speech, Hampton had an idea that if he wrote to JFK, he could be given a pardon. He did that, and in the second to last executive order that JFK had before he was assassinated in 1963, Hampton Hawes was let out of prison. Amazing story. Woof! And the world of jazz and music in general are full of them, if only you do some research. So the sermon there from Hampton Hawes. We're going to hear a little sermon or two about soul and jazz coming up in the next hour. Because Lynn Roundtree on trumpet is going to be doing his thing in the way of recorded music, and he's going to be telling us about what's going on. There is a lot going on with Lynn Roundtree. It's just wonderful to hear. He was, what, our second guest on the show back when Hybrid Jazz started 2 Augusts ago. Really, really cool. Yay! Hiroshima. They've got some news, too. You'll be happy to hear about this. This is going back just several months ago to Departure, First Nation, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Another one of those searing talents, my goodness, that has a story and a half. Pharoah Sanders, Heart is a Melody. Just love that. That is from Evidence Records, and what it is it's a reissue of a Teresa. That's the name of the label, Theresalp, adding two songs to what was originally released, and that was back in 1982 for that. Actually, the release date of it was January 23rd. Just happened to have seen that today, that it was released back then, so I was supposed to play that song. Heart is a Melody. Pharoah Sanders, just an amazing talent. PharoahSanders.net has more information. You can imagine that if you have played with Sun Ra and the Coltranes, both John and Alice, you have learned some sort of spiritual bent in your playing, and it's there. And he was at Bohemian Caverns in D.C. a couple of months ago, and I missed him, and I'm so sad, but you just can't go to see everybody. But my gosh, if you get a chance, wherever he is, he's very... shall I say the word intimidating to watch? He's just so regal, and he's startling. And then when he plays, it's just this infusion in the room of some sort of other presence. He's just a trip and a half. Whew. We heard Herbie Hancock from 1973. The Headhunters was a defining moment for jazz funk, ladies and gentlemen. Whew. And Herbie had done a few experimental albums, but he wanted to get back to what he calls lighter music. So what you heard in the way of that was Vein Melter with Bernie Maupin on reeds, Paul Jackson on bass, our friend Harvey Mason on drums, and Bill Summers on percussion, including beer bottle. One of those albums that changed a lot of people's minds about a lot of tunage. And just nice to be able to play something by Herbie, who doesn't have a lot on his itinerary yet when you go to herbiehancock.com. He's going to be playing in L.A. in April. I think he's just laying back and doing things to help others along their journey. He really loves to be a team player as opposed to taking the helm so much. He just wants to make sure that other folks get their propers in this life. And he's thinking about a lot of that now as he is in his 70s. And he's just following his Buddhist bliss and laying back and making sure that whoever needs to get serviced, gets serviced. He's really one of a kind. Hiroshima. Whew. Dan and June, Kimo and Dean and Danny getting together to do, and Shoji, too, on Departure. First Nation, the name of the tune that we heard. HiroshimaMusic.com has more information. We have to make that distinction because otherwise you'll see a lot of information about what happened in Hiroshima back then. Some interesting news to pass along to you. Just so happy about this. Hiroshima is going to be at Jazz Alley in Seattle tonight, yes, and tomorrow, and on Thursday. And they will be streamed via showgotv.com. So you will see Hiroshima do their collective thing in Seattle in a couple of days. If you have never witnessed them in concert, it's actually a very spiritual experience. My son and I had a chance to go last year after Dan was on Hybrid Jazz, and it was remarkable. All you have to see is June pluck the instruments of her, what is it? Oh, my gosh, why can't I think of it? I know that Griselda will help me. What is it that she, well, let me see. And while I'm looking at that, why can't I think of what she plays? Oh, my God. They are going to be in our region. So if anybody's in our region, you will be able to see them in the D.C. and Baltimore area proper. Yes. Oh, let's see. Isn't that wild that instrument that's so in my head all the time? I know I'm going to find it. Isn't that crazy? June Kiramoto. Wait a minute. Koto. It's a simple word, but I couldn't think of it. Oh, my God, that means I'm getting old. No, here's what it means. Here's actually what it means, and I wasn't going to say anything, but if you are aware of how much the flu is infiltrating different homes, 47 out of how many states that we have are getting really nailed with this. It is beyond epidemic, and hospitals are now setting up tents outside their hospitals to handle the overflow. Now, last night, I didn't know what was going on, but you know how it is when you feel the very beginning of something, and you try to get it out of your mind. You try to be positive and say, no, it's not going to affect me. I'm taking coldies. Maybe you got a flu shot. Good for you. T's dad got one, and maybe T should get one, and I should get one. But a lot of people don't believe in shots. So do what you need to do naturally or as a matter of handling it. But honestly, didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so my brain is going to be a little fuzzy. I'm sorry. Hopefully not when Lynn Roundtree arrives, which is going to be momentarily, about 7 minutes or so away. Seriously, take care of yourself during the season. It's just crazy. And drink water and take care of your throat. Take care of your head. And I'll take care of the music. Birthday boy tomorrow. Our good friend Griselda knows who I'm talking about. He is very cagey about his age. I think he's a year or two younger than me. I'm not quite sure. Doesn't matter. He's always going to be GQ. We never forget his birthday because his birthday is the same day as my late sister Jean's and the same day as Sade. Slim Man is who we're talking about. Slimman.com. If you have never been there, please go, and you will find out some recipes and a story about why those recipes came to be. Once upon a time, the Slim Boy was hanging out every Sunday at his grandmother Angela's house. And Mom, the Slim Mom, and the Slim Papa used to be in the kitchen along with the Slim Uncle, and they would create these Italian masterpieces. So involved with the cooking were they that they used to actually read aloud from recipe books at the dinner table to plan ahead on what was going to be on the table the next week. Pretty cool. And so is Slim. This is going back now to Thousand Miles Away, one of those standout tracks on the CD, One by One. Happy birthday, Slim. We love you. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Man, whose idea was that? Putting Althea Renee with that cool trumpet player. Shoot! Let's find out. Actually, I know who it is. It's the Motor City Madmen. It's that sparkle scene stealer. It's that sultry top-of-the-trumpet-line player that we have here with us, Lynn Roundtree, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Tris, how are you?
I'm great. You are so professional. Man, you showed up on time. I told everybody in the chat room, he's already here. God bless you.
Well, you know, timing should be a personal trait of any musician.
Well, you learned a few things about that. I made sure that I reacquainted myself with your background. You learned a lot at Florida A&M about that, and I thank them for your professionalism.
Yeah, and I learned it sometimes the easy way, sometimes the hard way.
I'll bet, because you were in a very prestigious group of folks when you got into that school. I mean, I know that you probably were ready for it anyway, because you already had a sense of discipline and performance and preparation, but whew, the Marching 100 was a different story, though, wasn't it? Yo!
Well, absolutely, and I mean, the intimidation factor alone, just coming in when I did, they had just gotten back from playing a Tide commercial and Welch's, and then got back from being the Tide, main band at the 200-year celebration of France, and, you know, certainly little old me from D.C. who's coming in to be a part of this esteemed band, and, you know, had no idea what I would have to endure or go through to be a part of the band. I wasn't familiar with how bands were down in the South, and I was inundated and I persevered, and certainly that's why I indicate in my bio that's where I learned, you know, the practice and the preparation and being able to perform three P's.
And while we're on that subject, and it's just a very cool thing to note this for a couple of different reasons, because you're essentially coming to the region in the next 24, 48 hours or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have that big alliance now, because Detroit is your home, and I introduced you as the Motor City Madman.
But
you are from this neck of the woods, lest anybody have any question about it. And do you miss us? Do you miss D.C. sometimes?
Yeah, I miss D.C. You know, sometimes, particularly in an election year, when you turn on the TV and you see so many images of D.C. and you're just... people sometimes, when you're not from the area, don't understand, because you know how much of a bubble you're in when you're in that area, and how much, you know, you're so attuned to world events and, you know, national events, and you get out here in the heartland of the country, and it's a little bit different story. You kind of are fed what you only see on TV. And so you miss it, and particularly when that time comes around, because, you know, obviously growing up in the area and you know, a lot of people will agree, you know, that's all you see is the White House and Capitol Hill and Washington, D.C. and Smithsonian and politics and government, and everybody's involved in everything, particularly now when, you know, Martin Luther King's holiday was there, when that became a holiday, and that was a big deal, and Stevie Wonder was there singing Happy Birthday, and you know, so it's and the inauguration and how everything kind of shuts down. It's such a blessing to have an opportunity to actually come back and play at you know, one of the most esteemed rooms on the East Coast that I dreamed about being in for so long. Now coming to appear on my own show for the third time now.
Oh my God, that's so awesome. And Lynn, I mean, I can't think of a better time, because it's actually Dr. King's birthday tomorrow, so that's going to be a very big deal. Lots of people will be in the D.C. area and around Blues Alley for that, because, it coincides this particular year with Dr. King's birthday and all the inauguration festivities.
Exactly.
Wow, how exciting is
that? It's going to be great, and you know, I'm going to be ready to put on my A game for all the people that will come out and and check us out. We got some good stuff in store for you. You know, as you know, you come to a Lynn Roundtree show, and I like you to leave feeling good. The bottom line, and you know, like to move you, like to take you on a little ride, and so you know, and I'm very, very appreciative, and I understand how that works. You give and get. It's a reciprocal thing when I'm doing a show. I'm just looking forward to getting as much as I give out from all of you guys.
Well, there's going to be an influx of people, not only from the area proper, because that's a very desirable area to come to in D.C., but you are going to have some folks from not only all over the country, but all over the world. So you can expect things to pop. I mean, I don't know how much more 2012 could have popped for you, but I think 2013 is going to be really cool. Are you still in?
I look forward to it.
Yeah, and are you still dizzy from all that transpired in 2012?
Well, you know, no, because it's a progression. It's a progression. Life is a series of steps, and you know, you series of steps to I guess you know attain you know different things, different levels of things. That's what I've learned over the years. And so, you know, I don't get too low. I don't get too high about different things. I try to stay as steady as possible. And I've been extremely blessed. I've been extremely frustrated in both respects, at the movement and the lack of movement, because, of course, the music industry is so tough and so challenging. And then, you know, the economy, and you lump that in with all of the smooth jazz stations disappearing. And I kind of left people out in no man's land. But it created a heck of an opportunity for myself and people like me coming up and trying to take the music in a little bit different direction, not too far to disassociate avid smooth jazz listeners, but to progress the music, because the music wasn't progressing. And I think that's the reason why things are so stagnant and things started to fall off. But, you know, we're starting to see things open up now. We're starting to see the fan base, which hasn't left, hasn't gone anywhere, just waiting to hear something new that pushes the music forward, and that's what I'm really, really excited about doing. And so 2011, 2012, a little bit challenging in the sense that you know, the opportunities weren't as plentiful as they had been in years past, and the opportunities to be on air. But, you know, the progression and the growth, the stick-to-itiveness that a lot of my counterparts and I have been able to have has certainly laid a great foundation for things to come. And I'm just so excited about what we're going to be doing in 2013, a new record, a lot of different things. So, you know, I'm just super excited now.
Well, and I'm glad you are. And I have to say about you, Lynn, that you are and have been verbal about the way you communicate with that trumpet. I don't think that you'll ever have to worry about fans feeling as though you have veered too far off base. I think anything that you do, since you are committed to be truthful with the trumpet, you are always going to have a basic fan family, and then you're going to grow from there, because I certainly took note that some of your early influences include Miles Davis and Quincy Jones and Freddie Hubbard and Woody Shaw, and you are a product of both worlds. I mean, I can certainly see you in the months and years ahead to carry torches of all of those guys, and yet you have your foot firmly entrenched in a solid contemporary world. Not to say that those cats weren't contemporary as well. They didn't even have categories back then.
Well, talking about those cats, and I hate to cut you off, but you know, you brought up a great point with regards to my influences, and they weren't just, you know, obviously, you know, you'd like to say, oh, they're trumpet players, and you know, I like the trumpet players, but they weren't more than trumpet players. They were more than just musicians. They were innovators, in every regard, and that's the reason why, you know, particularly with Quincy Jones, who himself was a trumpet player, but you know, he started out with, you know, big bands and traveling and straight ahead jazz, but you know, started to work with ensembles, started to work with instrumentation, and then started to go into producing. And, you know, you have it come full circle where he's writing for Michael Jackson, and he's one of the most sought-after producers in the world in the R&B realm. Well, the same thing with Miles Davis, who himself, you know, was an innovator. I mean, he never stayed in one place, never stayed static. He always pushed, and he always pushed. You know, just came up with Bitches Brew, and that music was inventive and new at the time. Kind of Blue was new at the time, you know, created, it developed modal music, and he, you know, started West Coast cool jazz on up until the electronic age, and Miles was right there in front of and pulling and pushing the music to the limits. Freddie Hubbard, the same thing. I mean, people remember him a lot with traditional jazz and all the virtuosity of him being a trumpet player, but, you know, he crossed over and went into R&B, and people don't even know he played the memorable lick in The Godfather. Na, 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 na. That's Freddie Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Shaw, the same way. People still can't figure out him, you know, and
right.
his innovations and the way he played. You know, so, and Tom Brown, I got to say, he, again, straight ahead guy, but, you know, with his Jamaica funk, you know, selling, you know, going gold on a record in R&B, I mean, was unheard of for an instrumentalist. And, you know, he certainly found a way to cross over and do that. So those guys I list because, one, obviously trumpet players, but two, because they're more so innovators. And that's what I'm trying to be, an innovator with regards to the music. And that's what you hear, particularly in this new project with Soul Tree, the Soul Jazz Experience, and from projects pushing forward as well.
I'm so tickled, and I'm glad to hear what you have said, because it reminds me of our first conversation when you were, what, my second or third guest on this show. yeah.
So gracious. I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wanted to make sure you got some attention. There's something about you, and I love the fact that you have done so much research. I mean, you not only had inspirations, but you know why those guys inspired you.
Oh, yeah.
And not a lot of people can be that articulate. and about Miles, you know, he was so fabulous because he would make it known that if there was something that crept into his repertoire that needed to get out there, when he was friendly with Jimi Hendrix and he heard what Jimi Hendrix had to offer, Miles was very gracious in saying, look, I really have learned this particular element of my music that I'm doing now from
right.
Jimi. And it just makes for such ring of truth music when you acknowledge all the different kinds of atmospheres or influences that creep into your world. It just makes for an artist who is beloved from different kinds of people. You know.
Right, I know. And you know, Miles, that's funny because you said that, because Miles... he had set up already a meeting with Jimi Hendrix to work on an album together and work on a couple songs together, some ideas, and it was going to take place pretty much a month after Jimi Hendrix passed away suddenly. And he already had that set up. They were ready to go. And
wow.
So it's those influences, you know, and me with the music, I've got a lot of, you know, just personal influences growing up. You know, I was listening to the DC go-go music and you know, I was on the cutting edge of hip hop. I used to, you know, sit by my radio and wait for Frank Ski and all those guys to come on, you know, from New York and get the mixtapes. And, you know, so I've got a lot of those influences in me. I'm not, and then, you know, I'm not just beholden to one genre of music. In fact, if you look at my playlist, I've got everybody from Tom Petty to Metallica to Bob Marley, Steel Pulse to, you know, all the jazz guys, you know, it's very, music is music to me. It's good. You got good chords, good sound, a good melody. I'm all in. I mean, you hear some of that pepper through my music. Obviously we have to stay consistent, you know, for listeners' ears, because we don't want to ostracize people or confuse people as to what we're trying to do. But at the end of the day, I want to make good music, whatever it is. And we can package it up and call it whatever it is when we get finished making it. But I don't want to let that restrict me, a genre or a type of music restrict me from creating it.
Oh, no, never do that. Let them figure it out because, you know, we heard in radio since I started, God, it sounds so ancient to say this, but in 1976, I had always heard from these male program directors that audiences were stupid. They're not. They are able to pick out and feel music, and even if it's something different from CD to CD, project to project, they're all in too if they know you are. And that's the bottom line.
Exactly, and that's why I think it's a blessing in disguise that we've lost so many of these commercialized stations, consulted stations, because they had a tight rein on the music. They didn't have a lot of listeners, but they had such control on the music that they put up a barrier between the listeners and the artists. And the artists,
honey, I know.
didn't have a way to get the music out to the listeners. It was, you had to be tested, and I went through all of that. You had to be tested, and tests had to be this. Music shouldn't be like that, and this is why music survives so well and does so well overseas, because they don't do that. And I think the blessing in disguise is that now we have programs like yours. We have a lot of people out here who were old school. It used to be the DJ that said, hey, man, I just heard the DJs would love to break artists. I mean, I heard from a DJ who worked for a station, one of those big consultant stations down in Atlanta before they disappeared. And he was an old school DJ, and he said, man, I've got to keep a job. He was a program director. He said, I got to keep my job. He was like, I'd like nothing better than to break a new artist. It's what I love. I love love music. He was like, but I have to answer to the station owner, the general manager of the station, and if our ratings drop because I've played somebody who, I've deviated from this consulted list that they spent thousands of dollars to buy, then my head is chopped off and I'm gone. He was like, but, now I think we have an opportunity, particularly with you and your program and programs like yours, to expose listeners to people that you love and want them to hear. And let the listeners make a decision, an educated decision on what they like and what they want to hear.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all we want as musicians. We don't want to, like the word is a handout. Well, we don't want handouts. We don't want anybody to put us somewhere, because the music industry is tough. People are tough. They'll be honest with you. We just want an opportunity to get our music heard, and then let the people decide what they want.
Well, and it's, my gosh, Lynn, we could talk about this till we're blue in the face.
Sure could, yeah.
Here's the situation that I have found, and this is why I push for my idea of a show like this to be a 24-hour terrestrial radio station. If there were hybrid stations, and we could get rid of the sub-genres of jazz and play all that the ear can perceive of
exactly.
In the way the terrestrial radio stations, even though everybody and his mama says, oh, I don't listen to it anymore, they still get the respect. They really do. Because there are a lot of people who really aren't into satellite radio, don't really know anything about XM or Sirius, or don't know about online radio stations, but they know when they wake up in the morning, they turn on their radio next to their bed, get in their car, they listen to free dial stations. So
you're V something. You're a music mix for the Bay.
Yes, right. So
the same five songs. We'll listen to you. We'll force feed you the same five songs, and you'll like it, and you won't complain.
Oh, shoot, yes. That is the absolute truth. And you know what could happen if there was a successful endeavor with a commercial jazz station that played everything, the soul-infused, the straight-ahead, the funky, the flavored, whatever you want to call it, the stuff that falls between the cracks. If there was a station like that that was programmed in a way to make everybody crazy, how much would that just change the world, not only the United States, but the globe? There are outlets that do that, but we don't hear enough about them because you're right. The people that got the attention are the folks that called the shots to kill all these stations.
Well, if you get that concept together, I'll do the voiceover for it. This is your station where we play. If it sounds good, we play it.
Now stop it. I'm going to have to smack your hands. I'm going to call you.
I'm down because we're on the same page with that.
Yeah, I know. And we touched a little bit about this when you were on the show last time. Different direction because we're both so passionate about this, and I know that there's a lot to get out Tell me about the experience of Sparkle, first of all, and if your appetite is whetted for more of that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just, you know, it wasn't even being starstruck, because in music, I mean, you end up playing. I've played with a lot of people. I've been on stage with a lot of people. But I was kind of in awe that the director wanted real musicians to play the parts, because he had done his research on a lot of music movies, you know, the plethora of music movies out there, and he noticed that there was a certain lack of energy on the stage and the stage performances. And since Sparkle is a music centered around you know, stage performance, he wanted the reality to come in, you know, and wanted musicians, real musicians. And so when they did the auditions, they were fortunately shooting in the Detroit area, and they're doing auditions. They opened it up, and I went down there, didn't know what to expect. They gave me a call back, and they said, well, you know, two days before. I said, are you going to be available at 5 a.m. on Monday? I said, well, I guess I am. I had to do a show in Atlanta, and I got the promoter to fly me back, and, you know, lo and behold, I was there. I actually went in on Sunday to do a rehearsal, and I walked in, and Jordan Sparks is there, and the director's there, and, you know, Carmen Jogo was there, and Tika Sumner was there sitting down, and everybody's kind of just sitting around, and it was a surreal experience to just understand how a movie, how a five-minute scene takes, you know, two or three days to shoot, and 15
yes.
hours a day. And, you know, all the different angles they have to have. And it's hard work. It really is. It's a lot of hard work. And
it is.
Just being a part of that experience and, you know, seeing what the actors do and what they go through and how it all comes together and all of its wonder is just, to me, unbelievable. Because, you know, obviously we've seen movies. We all see movies. Majority of people, it's what we do, go out and see movies, and everything just hits us in the face. It's reality. But you don't know how much goes into a production like that. But it was just, for me, such a surreal experience. I'm so thankful to have even had the opportunity. When we got on stage and we started to do our thing, the musicians that they picked obviously were musicians that, you know, have been on stage and were real comfortable there. And we brought a certain energy. And when they started to make us, you know, first we were categorized as extras, but when they started to see our moves and our dance steps, and we were realized when they turned off the tape that was rolling, we were actually playing the music and the horn parts. they realized that. They made us, they put us in a different category and put us in the group with all the stars, which, you know, we got to eat separately. We got to first in the makeup lines. You know, which, you know, everyone has to have, you know, makeup. Everyone's going to makeup. So it's over there at 5 in the morning. It takes 2 hours just to get everyone's makeup on.
That's
and,
amazing.
Cut us up to the front of the line. They had outfits for us, you know, a separate day to be sized and fitted. And they've got all outfits there, and they bring these trailers in. It's just a surreal experience, and one that I certainly would be welcome to do again at any moment. And, you know, certainly I can't say enough about it. And just being on set with some of the legends and stars, I mean, Whitney Houston and, I mean, just being on there and knowing that this is her last film, you know, in hindsight,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, when I heard that, I mean, it just, it brought me to tears. You know, it's just, just to be surreal, be a part of that, you know, that whole, you know, legend in and of itself. I mean, you know, I don't have any more words to say. I don't know.
I know. I thought about you so much because I know that you would appreciate that experience, and then after the fact, knowing that that was Whitney's last film, because you are a man who thinks very deeply of things and grateful for every opportunity that comes your way, that's always going to be one of the highlights of not only your career but your life. That was
the
first time, and what a first time!
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first movie could have been, you know, some straight to DVD, you know, movie. Yeah, I was in that movie, but you know, the first movie to be, you know, and I mean, obviously her death, you know, certainly opened up the movie to people who probably wouldn't have otherwise seen it. All the whole story, or, you know, the circumstances around that. So, I mean, everybody's seen this movie, and I've gotten so many calls. Hey, man, we saw you. And I'm in the beginning of the movie. As soon as the movie comes on, just you see me right there in the club with CeeLo. And I had actually known CeeLo from years past.
Oh, cool.
Atlanta, when I spent some time in Atlanta. One of my fraternity brothers was good friends with him, and he remembered that. We had a good laugh and a chuckle, and we remember we were in an airport together. Our flights got delayed, and we sat and talked. And you know, to have traveled the world and done as much as CeeLo has done, and met so many people, to remember that encounter. Not, you know, some people just yeah, but he actually remembered some things that we had talked about, you know, in the airport. So yeah, I was grateful to be a part of that whole production.
I'm just tickled for you. There just seems to be a hand on your shoulder. Your journey in this music business seemed to have picked up momentum, and it's not stopping. And now that you have said something about a new project, you want to fill us in a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm really excited because, you know, what we've been talking about is what direction we're taking the music in. And my next project is being produced by Nate Harrison, who is an outstanding producer, and he's got an ear for being able to make music that hits your soul, and being able to really make the horn connect it with the track and connect it with the listener. And I mean, I'm just excited about some of the new music that we're creating. We've got a dance vibe. We've got it's almost a crossover electronic music vibe. We've got the vocals on it on some of the tracks. We've got a cool, deep, chill type vibe as well. I think it's going to go over really, really well. It doesn't sound. It's not too far outside of any norm where it's strange sounding, where people can't understand it, and people will understand it from the first note to the last note on the CD. But it's certainly a departure and a progression, not a departure, but a progression of what my music's been. We're picking it up a little bit in some of the beats, and we're going to make you dance. We're going to make you move on this one.
Oh, good. And when will that be due, would you say?
Well, we're looking at perhaps releasing a single in April.
Oh, it's coming up soon then.
Some coming up soon. We've been in the lab. We've been in the lab for the last 8 months here, you know, working on tunes. We've got some we'll do some collab work. I know I've got Lon Trotman on a track, and got some other people on the track that we can't announce just yet.
Yep, but, understand that.
We certainly know it's and you know, I've got an opportunity to go and play in Dubai with some of the people I've been working with. And
yes.
We're hoping that proves to be a successful event and a successful journey, and we'll have some good news to announce to everybody when we get back. But I'm just excited about the direction of the music. I think it's going to appeal to a wide variety of people, and going well beyond just the average smooth jazz listener. And they're going to enjoy it. Smooth jazz listener who's a smooth jazz diehard is going to enjoy it, but it's going to bring in people who otherwise would not have given, you know, two nods to smooth jazz, and they're going to say, wow, what's this? And wow, it's a trumpet player, really?
Oh, I have no doubt about you, Lynn. I always believe that as far as your future in the music business, and I'm not so negatively inclined to say that the music business is in turmoil. I just think it's going through some changes, and as long as there's a creative force in people who believe that if the time isn't now to think outside the box, when is? It's going to just catapult what we have known into a different stratosphere. I'm excited that you're going to the Dubai Jazz Festival because I want the Yellow Jackets and Chuck Loeb to see you.
I would love to play with all of these guys. And that's my Detroit coming out. I mean, because when you get to Detroit, you have to play. I mean, you can't just walk into a jam session and not play. And one, physically not play, and be able to understand your horn or your instrument or your craft enough to sit in and let people know what you're doing. And they're hard on you. You know, if you came and got on the bandstand and you weren't playing the song quite right, or didn't know the song, or were struggling through some changes, they tell you about it, and they tell you about it in no uncertain terms. Mm. You knew what you needed to do, either not come back or fix it. In fact, sometimes they say, "Why don't you just not come back? Why don't you just quit? Because we don't see where you're going with this. You know, maybe the trumpet's the wrong instrument for you." I wasn't told that, but people certainly were hard on me. People came in and they took me under their wing and said, you know, one of the things that Harold McKinney, who's passed on, had said to me when he first heard me play, he's like, "I love your sound." He was like, "You don't have to play all the stuff that all these guys are playing, you know, the crazy notes." He was like, "But you do have to, you know, let me know what you're talking about. I hear you, but I don't understand what you're saying. It's like a run-on sentence." He was like, "So, you know, develop something that's centered around your sound that I can understand. Music is like speaking." He was like, "You have to have, you know, enunciation. You have to have punctuation." He was like, "And there are certain musical triggers that allow people to know where you are in a song." And I didn't understand it for a while. It took me a long time to understand it. I was afraid to go back and play with him because he was so hard on me. But, you know, finally it clicked. It clicked that, it clicked how to make phrases in your music. And it was just like speaking, just like a public speaking, having people understand what you're talking about or going off into left field. I mean, you take them on a ride and bring them back home and tie it up. And so, you know, those are some of the things that I was able to learn, you know, sitting in with old guys. And mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. And that's coming out of the Detroit and going back to my original point over to Dubai to sit in with some of these legends, you know, like Chuck Loeb and the Yellow Jackets and, you know, Paul Brown, who I've sat and had an opportunity to sit in with this summer. And we connected. And he raised an eyebrow at the connection that we had on stage. And Darren Rahn and a lot of these guys, the young guys, Nicholas Cole was outstanding. Yeah. I'm just excited about kicking it and playing with as many people as I can and, you know, letting them hear Lynn Roundtree and vibing with these guys who've been out there to see, you know, where do I stand with these guys?
Oh, look, it is going to be so exciting to see how this turns out. Oh, gosh, if I had the money, I would take a plane full of us to see this kind of action on stage. And,
we'll be there trying to get you up to that point, Trish.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's coming this year, baby. You best believe it. It's coming this year, and we'll figure out a way. And as much as you just made a point a couple of minutes ago to talk about this different kind of vibe and expanded territory on this new project and how there's going to be a little bit of energy and some just different pops here and there. Lynn, I want to play for folks and for you not only my favorite Lynn Roundtree song, but one of my favorite songs now of all time.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Nervous. And no, don't be. I can't sometimes get this song out of my head. This just spoke, and it's so funny how some things speak to you and they won't let you go. even talking about it, woohoo, I get a little teary. Isn't that funny?
Aww.
Isn't that funny? So tell me the significance of Seasons, Kaylin's song.
Well, Kaylin is my daughter.
Yep.
And she was February 12th was her birthday. In 2009, and she is, when I look at her, she looks just like me, and it frightened me before. She grew some hair. I thought she was going to stay looking like me. I said, "No, you're a little girl." And I had a sister who passed before me, so I dedicated a song to her on my first album, but I thought this would come full circle, so it's not only about Kaylin. I had my sister in mind as well. She passed when she was an infant, and it's just a song that there's a vibe that Dana Davis, my producer, came up with, and it just sounded so different and sounded so airy, and there's a vibe that I didn't need to do too much on, and obviously I've been playing with Gail Johnson for a while, done some work with her, and I felt that she would give it and not in a chauvinistic manner, but a woman's touch. I needed on that song as well, because of the emotion that she plays with. I like the fire and energy, but the fact that there is a woman's touch on that song with Gail's playing, it's you can hear it through the music. You can hear it in the background. You can hear it with the keys and what's going on. And I don't have to play much on that song, and all the while I had a picture of my daughter in the studio, and I even captured some of her voice in the song, if you can listen closely. She's the inspiration for that as well. So, and that's and I didn't have to do much on that track at all. It was the last track I did for Soul Tree, and I literally went in 15 minutes, recorded that, and came out, recorded my parts after everything had been done, and came out with it and sent it right over to get the mix. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to do anything. There's a couple parts in there where you can hear me kind of make some mistakes that I would otherwise have gone back and fixed with all the technology we have. We had to punch in and fix some parts, but I felt like that was the raw energy and the emotion that needed to be on that track, and I didn't need to go over it anymore. I would have lost it.
Oh, you and Gail had, it's not the first time, probably won't be the last time you'll ever work together, but you and she have such a synchronicity, if that's the word. You seem to have one mind when you're working together, and this is evidence of this. If folks have not heard this, I've played this a few times on the show, but you're going to hear it again. You are welcome. This is Lynn Rountree, our guest, and this is from Soul Tree, the Soul Jazz Experience, Seasons, Kaylin Song on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. So I'm putting Lynn Roundtree through this. Gosh knows how many times he has been holding to hear a particular song, maybe even that song, but had to do it. And we have a really nice chat room here today, Lynn, and I was telling everybody I must be really exhausted because I'm crying.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Oh, honestly, you... We have a gentleman who is a music artist, Matt, in the chat room, and he is also a trumpet player. And
good guy, like Matt.
Oh yeah, Matt and you would get along really well. He said that he can hear the passion in your playing.
Yeah, thank you. Tell him I said thanks, and tell him you know how that is. We want to trumpet players like to. A little, and not a dig on saxophone players who play all those notes and they just play everything. Trumpet players like to a little more perfection in their playing. So it was very difficult for me not to go back and change some of the stuff that I did on that track, you know. And it was very difficult because I wanted to play that and I wanted to take four or five different takes and I wanted to fix a couple of parts. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to do it because, you know, when you start redoing it and taking different cuts of things. You know, like you do on some dance tracks and things like that, you want to make sure it's you got a lot of different takes. You know, with a song like that, you want the raw emotion. And I think it did come, I made the right decision because it does connect with a lot of people. I mean, you're not the first person who says that they connect with that song. And I didn't even know it was going to be like that. I just put it on the album as pretty much an inward song. I like to put a song on that's, you know, I'm not worrying about, you know, anything commercial. I'm not worrying about how it sounds to people. I'm just putting it on because it's something that's on there for me and for my purposes. And for people to connect with that song above a lot of the other songs that were on that CD, I probably get the most emotional response from that particular song.
There's something about when you told the story about your sister, and as it turns out, my late sister's birthday is tomorrow. So how weird is it that you're on the show today?
Yeah.
Woo! But listen, it's been a while, just like it's been a while for you, but, you know, you always have that association. And then when you put, it always seems that whenever there is a female name of a song, there is an extra measure of love in it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And you just were so, everything was a spare. The song was given room to breathe. You didn't go all Christina Aguilera on that song.
Yeah, like I said, if I'd have taken more, if I had more takes, I would have done a lot of. You know, but no, that's. I had to leave it just like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, honestly, I didn't know. I was not as comfortable with that song when I put it out. I went back and forth. And fortunately, because that was the last song, we were under time. Constraint. We had to get the album done and out. And, by the time I shipped it over, Carl Robinson, who was mixing my project, had already loaded it up in the system and said, hey, I got it. It's already mixed. You know, and I'm leaving town. So that it forced me not to be able to redo anything on that song. So,
well, I think that you were probably a little skittish about it because you are a guy's guy, and there's a lot of emotion in there. And you were thinking, ooh, do I want to have this musical vulnerability out there? Whatever. I'm just glad because I really do consider it to be one of the more beautiful pieces I have heard in like the last 10, 15 years.
Well, thank you. And that's certainly a lesson learned, you know, in the process of recording. You know, I've recorded now, this will be my fourth album, and probably recorded over 80 songs between my albums and other people. And, you know, when you begin, you look for perfection, but there's some things that you learn, you know, through the way. You know, you got to learn when to stop. I think that's the key in recording. I mean, you've got all the technique in the world. And I think even my first CD, I had limitations because I wasn't as good of a trumpet player as I am now. And, you know, it was a decade ago when I made those songs. Obviously, I've progressed in the level of my playing, but I don't think I would have been able to create what I created on my first CD or the sound because I know more stuff now and I would have done more stuff and it would have been different. I was real limited at what I could do, so I was a little more emotional on some of those songs, and you know, based on where they were. Now, I wouldn't trade the way I can play now for anything, but I mean, you know, it's just in recording. It's, you know, there's one story that Kenny G has, and I know people talk a lot about Kenny G and his songs, but I mean, for the most part, Kenny G has some very memorable songs. You know,
I love Kenny G.
And yeah, well, you know, I love him. I appreciate what he's been able to do, and you know, it's no slight to sell 100 million albums worldwide. I mean, that's
right.
That gets to somebody. 100 million people can't all be wrong.
Hey, look, you know what? You can say what you want. Haters are going to hate, and the more that you climb that ladder, the bigger people are going to scream and moan because they are not on that ladder with you.
Yeah, I mean, you say what you want about them, but I bet you know at least 5 Kenny G songs when they come on.
Yeah.
You know, and you know how to hum the tune. So, but when he said he recorded, I think, Songbird, he was out of tune. And there was a problem with the recording or something like that, I think. And he said he would have gone back and changed it. And there's something going on where you didn't have time to do it, or they didn't notice it until they actually heard it in the mix, and they were running out of money, and they just went ahead and put it out. That happened to be his biggest song of all time, you know, and it's
right
with him being flat, you know. And so, you know, it's a lesson that, you know, emotion, you know, any day in the studio, being able to put your emotion through on record and get it recorded, you know, it's not always about the sound and the perfection. You know, sometimes you got to know when to stop. You got to know when, okay, that take is the one right there. That's it. And, you know, I may have some mistakes. I may have a flub here. Or there may be something going on there. But, you know, I'm going to leave it because that's where it is. It's the same thing with writing the track. You know, knowing
you are
stop
so right.
Stuff.
Oh, Lynn, I couldn't agree more because people, they not only want it, but they, honest to God, need to hear that you've laid something out that was personal, because the more you get to them and they feel you being honest, the more it's able to get into their psyche, their soul, and be able to heal some things in them that they hadn't thought they could heal.
Right.
So, bless your heart. What would you like to see this year? What would be a definitive goal that you have, or a dream that you have that you want to see come to pass this year?
Well, I'd just like to I'd like to have a successful release of my fourth project. I'd like more people to be exposed to my music. More people, I think. You know, it's from my first CD, like I said, 8-9 years ago, it came out to now. There's a lot of people who haven't been exposed to my music. I just hope that I just want to see that double, triple, quadruple, because I think I've got something to say. And I think a lot of people would like to hear what I have to say. And so that's one of my biggest goals. Things that I could take away from, obviously the basic thing, you know, you want to live and be healthy, and you want good health, and you want to just make as many friends and fans as you can, and you want this country to do well. You know, I know there's a lot of sadness going on, a lot of violence, a lot of evil people out there.
Frustration.
A lot of frustration, and I just hope to see things getting back. I'm happy the economy's turned around here in the Detroit, Michigan area, but I'd like to see that replicated around the country. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that I'd like, but on my personal list, yeah, I'd like to be able to expose my music to a lot more people.
Well, whew, no doubt about that. Matter of fact, I was kidding to a few people. Half. I said, Lynn Roundtree is going to go to Dubai and their jazz festival coming up in February, so I'm really glad I got him this second interview, because I'm not sure I'm going to get him again.
Oh, yeah. Chris, whenever you call me, I'm there.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
That's a guarantee, so I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you.
Everybody who exposes my music, everybody who shares my music with their fan base and their listeners. So.
Well, we have two things to wrap this up. First of all, Matt Williams, our trumpet player, just requested your friendship, so... He, yeah, And he's afraid he's going to get in trouble with Facebook for requesting because he doesn't know you personally.
Well, no, he's not going to get in trouble. Tell him I've been kicked. I've been suspended with the, you know, with the best of them on Facebook.
Have you?
Yeah, they I had to shut down my page because I was getting so many ads on my page and some of those crazy Nike ads and shoe ads. So I shut that page down and got another one. And so I tried to request all my friends back. And in the process, they kept saying that, you know, I was requesting too many friends. And if I kept going, they would shut me down. And they did. They suspended me for four. At first, it was 2 days, and they suspended me for 4 days. I couldn't add anybody.
Wow.
And then I started to get more people. And, you know, I learned the trick. I guess you have to. Once you start adding people, you have to have more people that you have to add people who have friends, you know, like friends as you, mutual friends. You have to add people with mutual friends. So if you have people with mutual friends, a lot of those, and they don't get too much in trouble.
Gotcha. Okay. That's duly noted. So everybody in the chat room is listening to that. And my friend Yolanda Bell, who is a superior photographer, and
yeah.
I will probably see you on Thursday.
Well, we'll make sure you guys are in and front and center. We'll make sure we make it available for her as well.
Well, that's awesome because she is just about to leave this area to move to Las Vegas, and she is. Gearing
a lot
up
of photography
and
opportunities out there.
Oh, yeah. You know that's true. But I think that she is really excited now about the possibilities, and she's leaving next week about coming out and maybe taking some pictures of you, if that's cool.
Right. That's beautiful.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, we'll see you on Thursday at Blues Alley. And bluesalley.com has the information about you and how much tickets are, if anybody wants to know. And where is the best place where folks can reach out to you? Is it Facebook or someplace else?
Yeah, either Facebook. I mean, you can reach out to Facebook. I answer all of my Facebook requests and messages personally. Also, a like page. So it's Lynn Roundtree, the like page, LinRountre, no D. And then they also can request a friendship on my profile page, which is Lynn Soul Trumpeter Roundtree. And they can also go to LinRountreeMusic.com, LinRountreeE, or TREE, not E, through trees, music.com, sorry. And they can sign up for my newsletter, which is a tab on the website, and receive emails if they don't have Facebook or anything, or even if they do have Facebook, they can still sign in and put their email address in. It'll capture the email address. And ask if it's okay to send you newsletters, and if you hit okay, then I'll send you a quarterly newsletter as to, you know, what I'll be doing, and I'll send out special event notifications if I'm doing something special. Perhaps I can come see, or you can come see me when I'm in the area, and one of the things that hopefully I'll be doing.
That's awesome. Woo, you really did learn your preparation very well. That's a good deal of information to learn so that folks can go and especially buy Soul Tree, the Soul Jazz Experience, because it is chock full with some really luscious tunes. And we're going to close out with one of them because I wanted to play So Beautiful because that's what I think of when I think of you.
We're going to play that on Thursday. So.
Yay! That's awesome. And who are you going to have with you, by the way? Do you know?
Well, I'm going to have Phase 2. Phase 2 is a band down there that always backs me up when I come in the area. And
I know them.
Phenomenal. Yeah,
yes.
Those guys are phenomenal. I play with either those guys or Fahrenheit. Both of those, you can't go wrong. And they know my music, and they play with as much energy as I require.
That's wonderful to know because Phase 2 did a great job at the Capitol Jazz Fest backing up all the artists from different parts of the country. So you are in some good hands. We're excited. Woohoo!
let's get it in.
Let's get it in. Let's get this thing done. All right. We'll see you on Thursday. And, Lynn, thank you so much for the time. God bless you.
Likewise. We definitely got to make sure we take a lot of pictures together.
We will. We will.
Gotcha.
We'll see you on Thursday.
We'll see
you. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye to all of your listeners, and thank you for everything that you guys have been able to do to support the music.
That's very nice of you to say that. Thank you, Lynn. All right.
Yeah.
Couple of days. Yay.
We'll do that.
See you.
Bye.
Lynn Roundtree. Wow. Just so nice. What a great vibe. Every single time I hear something about him, or now that he's been with me a second time on an interview basis on Hybrid Jazz, it's just a pleasure to know such a gentleman who feels so strongly and so passionately about the music. And here's another example of that right now from Soul Tree, the Soul Jazz Experience. This is Lynn Roundtree and a song that's going to be familiar to you. So beautiful. Thank you.
A groove and love is still advancing. Nothing to do but waltz. You can't suggest that we could go on jitterbugging. We've nothing left for moves more strenuous than hugging. We don't need much room to gently cut a rug in. We too. Head to toe, my body's feeling loose and warm and kind of supple. Nothing to do but waltz. The minutes slip away, my arms just won't let go. I think I'd like to stay till we're the only couple. Come on, baby, do this once with me one more time. nothing to do but waltz. I feel can barely move, my legs are yelling, whoa, but we're in such a groove, and love is still advancing. Nothing to do but waltz. It's nice to feel us both get hot beneath the collar. Dollar. I plan to keep you here all night, unless you holler. So come on, baby, let's do this one more time. The night is getting on, baby. The beat is getting slow.
You got a jazz singer on your hands when you have 8.5 minutes worth of singing. Woo! Especially for Art, who is listening today. Yay, Art! Awesome. The lady's name is Chris McNulty, and she is my friend, and she's been on the show a few times. And it's so amazing. I won't belabor this point, but it needs to get said. When Chris was on the first time, we were not only going to be talking about her wonderful career and her story, which needs to be on the Lifetime channel, honest to gosh, secrets and everything, and there are a few. But she was also speaking about her son, Sam, also known as Chap One. Sam was this amazing, ethereal, astoundingly talented spoken word artist who was able to take it to another level because he grew up immersed in his mom's jazz world. So you had Sam's powerful voice talking about justice and social change, and then the jazz background, much like Inside, who was our guest last time around. Man, if Norman and Sam had met each other, I don't even want to contemplate that. But anyway, when Chris was here the first time, she could barely get through the interview. It was just such a fresh wound that Sam, at the age of 30, had died suddenly. And this was just last year. So by the time the second interview came to be, she was like this colt that was not steady on her feet, and then she got steadier. And now, it's popping. I am so thrilled for my friend. I love her to death. She is amazing. Chris McNulty and Fats Waller's Jitterbug Waltz from The Song That Sings You Here, brand new. And let me tell you the accolades this woman is getting. I have never seen a more positive review, a more spot on, more absolutely in love with someone in my life than the person who wrote the review on criticaljazz.com on December 17th about this new project from Chris. This writer went on about the honesty and the way she used her voice and the knowledge of jazz and what she brings to the table that sets her apart from other vocalists. Woo! It was like a love letter. So happy to hear this. And on top of the good news about how this is being received, not only in the States, but all over the world, and notably in Australia, where Chris is from. Chris is going to have a CD release event happening at Vitello's in Studio City. You LA folks, please know that this is going to be on the 17th and the 18th. I want there to be a packed house, you LA people. Please pack that house for Chris. Show her some love, and you are going to get love and a half returned to you. Honest to God, you are. Now, I'm not sure if she's going to have the people that are on the CD, Paul Bolenbeck, Ugano Okegwo, Marcus Gilmore, Andre Kondrakov, Graham Wood, Igor Butman, and Anita Wardell on this particular project, but any of them, whoever she's going to have, it's going to be fabulous, because she is. So she's got all that pain that had been and will forevermore be with her, of course. But she has taken it and turned it into some kind of joy, and she's a magnificent force in the world, seriously. Chris McNulty, the song that sings you here, available on Reverb Nation, Amazon.com. She's also on Facebook. Find her. Tell her you love her. Please. Thank you. Ken Navarro from The Test of Time, Message in a Bottle. And if Sting has not heard that already, he's going to hear it someday. Seriously. All parts played simultaneously on guitar on one take. Oh, and it would be so awesome to contemplate this, because in Baltimore, in the extended area, there are some guitar players that are worthy of speaking about. Another one is Carl Filipiak. I was thinking of this tour that involved guitar players from this region. Ken will have to hear about that little dream, because it would just be smoking. So, Ken, if you're listening today, we love you. Still in love with The Test of Time. And as fate would have it, we have not spoken in a little bit, but Ken decided it would be a really cool idea to post Message in a Bottle this morning on his page and on another page, not knowing that I had already decided last night to play the song. It all worked out great. And Lynn Roundtree to start the set, so beautiful. He was talking about how, shall we say, discerning the audiences in Detroit are. You don't dare get up on a stage, even at a jam session, if you don't know what the heck you're doing. It's the same in Philly. And I say that because we played So Beautiful, the Music Soul Child song. And Music Soul Child is from Philly, where I'm from. And I know what he's talking about, because you didn't get on the stage in Philly unless you know what the heck you're doing. So music can tell you all about that as well. But that was a really cool rendition of that song, and it's from Soul Tree, the Soul Jazz Experience, from Lynn Roundtree. Woo! Got a few tunes to go, and I wanted to play this because I was thinking of some romance. And for some of us, we have been looking for it. And it's not necessarily there right now, but you know what? We have our little dreams. And this is one of those songs. Critics have called this one of this particular artist's finest hours. Actually, what Sonny Rollins did was, there was an album that came out in 2008, Roadshows Volume 1, and it was a collection of tunes from 1980 until the time that the project was released that were worthy to capture in a live setting. And for those folks who remember way back when, a movie called South Pacific, there was a song from South Pacific that made time stand still. And what was his name? Oh, Mitzi Gaynor was the female lead. And Rosano Brazzo, I believe, was the actor and the singer who did this song. You probably know. I know Matt knows. in the chat room. Some enchanted evening. Well, this is Sonny Rollins with a very spare crew. Christian McBride on bass and Roy Haynes on drums. And prepare to be a little romanced on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. gosh, that is just glorious. Oh, I have been anxious to play something from the brand new Luis Munoz CD called Luz. It is dropping today. So, Luis, God bless you. Thank you so much for sending this to me early. That was Testamento Mas Ala for Luis's wife, Holly Ann. Holly Ann, you are so blessed. Oh, my gosh. Luis on percussion, Chris Judge on acoustic guitar, George Friedenthal on piano, Tom Etchart on acoustic bass, Jonathan Dane on glorious trumpet, and Magos Herrera on vocals, an astounding Mexican singer who herself has pockets of the world that just revere and adore her. She has had 7 albums out on her own and just graced Luis's project so much. Oh, I have listened to every track, and I love this man anyway. He just seems to know how to pull the right people together for the right vibe. That is a love song and a half. Mas Ala Aya is pertaining to Christmas. Actually, it was a song title for Gloria Estefan some years ago, if you might remember. Some of us oldsters do. Luis, this is breathtaking. Oh, my gosh. Each and every track is a piece of art. He has been called, not only in his native Costa Rica, but also in the States, a visionary. He really is. And you have to delve into the music and hear the kinds of loyalty the musicians around him have for him, because he's had some of these guys for years. But I have to say that Magos Herrera is a wonderful addition to Luz. Brand new today, and Luz means light. Yes, it was. It is. Woo! So nice. Arturo Sandoval, right before that. Oh, gracious. From his nominated album, Dear Diz, 3 Grammys in nomination category for Arturo. Of course, he already has 5 Grammys, 6 Billboard Awards, and an Emmy. And in case you didn't know this, if you want to get the definitive word on Arturo Sandoval, For Love or Country, the HBO film, he did a lot of the scoring for it, and that's why he won the Emmy. Andy Garcia was in that. Dear Diz, of course, because of his mentor, Dizzy Gillespie, and all of the songs just lovingly done with, among other folks on here, Joey DeFrancesco, Gary Burton, Bob Mincer, Eddie Davies, Eddie Daniels, I'm sorry, just really beautiful Latin and Afro-Cuban and classical takes on Dizzy Gillespie. So beautiful. And Sonny Rollins, who we explained before, and I want to get to one more song before the day is through. Some Enchanted Evening from Road Shows Volume 1. Yes. And Christian McBride and Roy Haynes helping Sonny out like he needs help, right? And Rosano Brazzi was the name of the actor in South Pacific, just so you know. I am going to finish this up with a birthday guy. I want to play him, Grady Tate. He turned 80 yesterday. We need to hear something and something special. So this is Beso, a kiss from Kenny Barron's The Traveler album, Grady Tate on vocals, taking a little vacation from his usual drumming to do something special on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Of wings,
a breathless hush of loss at the very start. In a touch, you are here.
Happy birthday, Grady Tate. We'll see you on Thursday with Varen O on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woof! Thank you all so much for joining us today. And thanks, Lynn Roundtree.